Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see all of you here this morning. Good to be here to be a part of this worship service with you. And always a great opportunity to be able to stand before you and share with you from God's Word. Of course, Elliot is kind of on vacation right now, personal leave, helping take care of Stephanie, make sure that she is healing correctly and that she has everything she needs. And we want to continue to keep them in our prayers as Stephanie heals and moves forward with her therapy for her after her lumpectomy. And so it's always good to keep them in our prayers, keep them in the front of your mind as you go to the Lord in prayer. I have a couple of things that I want to share with you quickly this morning. Of course, a couple of weeks from today, we will be headed to the new park facilities. It's the Old River City Park, which is now called the Case Community Park. So if you didn't know that, the name has changed. So if you see on the flyers or something, Case Community Park, same place as the Old River City, it just looks a lot different. And it's a lot nicer, and of course it'll be, we have it reserved for that weekend, and it's going to be a lot of fun being able to, Rick mentioned this morning, you know, watching the seed spitting contest, watching the pie eating contest, and we have the kids and the adults, and it's a lot of fun. Three-legged races and wheelbarrow races, things like that. Please come be a part of that. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know, we want you to be a part of that day also. That is an incredible family event. It's a great memory for our kids as well as our adults, and we want you to share in that event and make it a part of your lives. And we know that you'll enjoy that time with us there. So come join us for worship and be a part of that weekend along with us. There are a lot of things going on, of course, in the world around us right now, too, with the flooding in Florida and Houston. And we have a little silver shoebox covered in aluminum foil so it would stick out, right? It's sitting on the back table. And if you've been preparing, as we've announced, to give towards those efforts, then the National Church of Christ Relief Fund will receive those monies that are left in the silver box on the table just outside the glass wall here. And so that's for your opportunity to give back and to let them know how much we care about what it is that they're going through. Breaking out is what I want to talk about this morning. Becoming a little more than what we are, right? And that's not always an easy thing to do. And we look around, you know, I wear glasses normally and contacts a lot. And the doctor convinced me not long ago, you could do monovision. Anybody know what that is? I'm just curious. Ever tried it? Monovision. That means instead of wearing two, you wear one contact, and he says, your left eye is strong enough, it'll adjust, you know? And I do that a lot during the summer, and I've kind of gotten away from it. And so this morning, I'm standing up in front of you, and the left side is all blurry, and you guys are bright and shiny. And a headache is forming behind my left eye. But that's all right. It's okay. It's the adjustment period, getting back to that again. I could allow that to destroy my morning. And the reality is, I don't care. It'll be all right. I'm here with my brethren. I've had the opportunity to lift my voice in song this morning. I had a great class with teenagers this morning. We had a lot of fun over there. I love teaching Old Testament history. There is so much in the Old Testament that we need to learn from and glean from, and that would allow us to grow, to be better Christians, to be a stronger people, to know and understand the things that are there. And it begins to reveal to us our Heavenly Father. And so it's important sometimes that we get into that. We're going to do that in just a little bit. We're going to take a look at some verses from Judges chapter 11. So if you want to turn over there to Judges chapter 11, we'll be there in just a minute. Before I do that, I want to share with you an experience. Of course, as a youth minister, you get a chance a lot of times to go to theme parks and a lot more in the years past when they were actually affordable. You know, I think Six Flags now is like $60 a person to get in. And it's incredibly expensive, but it is a lot of fun when you get those opportunities. Now, I have to tell you, I am not a man who enjoys heights, okay? I don't like them. They make me just a little bit uncomfortable. But, of course, as a youth minister, you're always being challenged to break out of the norm, to become a little more, to stretch your limitations, right? And so there was a year that we headed off to an amusement park that had this ride, the Mr. Freeze. Now, what you got to know about this ride is when you get into this car, it starts backwards, right? I saw somebody going, yep, they've been on it. And so you go backwards and you go through a loop. And when you come out of that loop, you go straight up. And I hit the top of that ride and I thought, what in the world am I doing? And I got up there at the top, you know, and we're going backwards through that thing. And we headed up that deal and it gets to the top. And one of the reasons it's called the Mr. Freeze is when it hits the top, it freezes. It's not like when you hit the top, you just shoot right back down and the ride's over. Nope. It's just going to hold you right there. And I'm looking down and, you know, and of course on these cars, the way they're made, you know, in my mind, you know, I'm thinking about the science of it all and I can feel these cars moving on those metal rails. And I'm thinking, is this appropriate time to pray? Maybe. And I hit that top and it freezes and I'm thinking, if I ever get off of this thing, I will never get on it again. I can tell the team, I've been there, done that. I'm not doing it again. And we started down, and we started down so fast. And I guess, you know, subconsciously, right? I've not yelled. I've not screamed. I'm smiling the whole, because it is fun. I'm smiling the whole time. And I grab a hold of that restraint on top of my chest, and I just pull, right? And we hit the bottom, and I'm thinking, wow, you know what? I think I might want to do that again. And they come around, and the guy, the young man who releases the harnesses on you, reaches down, and he hits that pedal, and it just pops up, right? Well, he reaches down and hits my pedal, and it doesn't pop up. And I'm thinking, okay. Now, what I haven't told you is, coming down, I pulled so hard that I clicked that thing down about two or three more notches, and I'm going, I can't breathe. Not deeply anyway. I can breathe, but not deeply. And he looks at me scared. And I look at him and he goes, I'm going to go get help. I said, stop. As loudly as I could. And he goes, what? And I said, push down on that again and I'll get this off of me. So he pushes down and I grab that thing and I yanked as hard as I could and went, and up it went. And I was glad. And we rode some other rides there. And one more time. I faced my fear. I broke out of my limitations. I'm going to do it one more time. And so we head back over there and suddenly realize it's not moving. It shut down. And so I was going to face my fear. I was going to break out of my But, you know, Six Flags said, nope, nobody else on the ride today. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'll take that as a message from you. But heights is something that makes me nervous. Now I'm going to show you a little video here, and I want you to know, if you are afraid of heights, you probably want to pick up a songbook and look, okay? But I want to share with you just a preview that Caleb and I will never go see this movie, okay? I had to prepare my son. He hates this preview. But I want you to see it, and then we'll talk about it. It is based on the true story of a guy named Philippe Petit. Now, in Okie, that's Philip Pettit, right? But Philippe Petit, he's a Frenchman who came to the United States in the mid-70s. And that's how I feel. Philippe is a French high wire artist who gained fame in 1974. When he went to the Twin Towers in New York City. You want to follow him out there on that beam?
Yeah.
You would? Now watch this. Now, I don't think he's afraid of heights. What do you think? To break out of your limitations. Philippe had conquered many high wire acts and things like that across Europe and decided he wanted to do something that was extraordinary from what he had done. On the morning of August the 7th, 1974, his unauthorized feat, with the help of several other men, at 1,350 feet above ground, which many people refer to as the coup, right? Breaking laws, hiding behind doorways in the buildings. They rigged a 450-pound cable that was 26 feet long between the Twin Towers. It weighed, and then he took a pole, a custom-made pole. Actually, let's see, 26 feet is the length of the pole that he used to walk the high wire. It was 55 pounds that helped him balance. And he performed over the city of New York for 45 minutes, making 8 passes back and forth along the wire as he negotiated what was going to happen with him with the local police department, Port Authority Police Department. Now, when he went before the judge, the following week, by the way, he celebrated his 25th birthday, so this is a much older picture. When he went before the judge, it became such an incredible thing in the newspapers, everybody loved him, that instead of putting him in jail or giving him a large fine, he agreed to perform in Central Park for the children for the next 8 weeks to keep himself out of jail. But I want to talk this morning a little bit about breaking out of our limitations, stepping beyond. Something like this is, in my opinion, is not smart at all, right? He put his life in his own hands. He took a chance and walked out there. But I want to share with you a few things. Ephesians 3:20, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that is at work within us. So we must ask ourselves the question once again, do we believe what we know is true? Do we believe that in our limitations, in our routines every morning, if I get up and the coffee pot doesn't work, does that mean that my day is going to be a bad day? Yeah, it might. You're way too young to be there already, young man. But what are the things in our lives that limit our thoughts and our actions that should be things that we can break out and go beyond? Things that limit who we can become and who we might just be for that one day. Do we believe that He is able to do more than we can ask or imagine because of His power that is at work within us? God is bigger than our limitations. God is at work within us. The problem is not the limitation of what we do in life. It is a limitation of our thinking and what we truly believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us into triumphal procession. Triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing. And so I want to ask you this morning, has your life, since we began in January 1, talking about living transformed, has your life transformed in any way so that from within you comes the aroma of Christ to the world that surrounds you? Or have you allowed your life to set limitations on you, your routines to set limitations on the difference that you can make in the lives of those who are around you? Limitations come at us from all sorts of directions. They can be external, but mainly they are internal for us. What do we think is limiting us? Our physical abilities, our education, our finances, maybe even failures. Maybe the history of our families and what they brought us to. Maybe disappointments in life, challenges that we thought we couldn't overcome. Your thinking is really what is holding you back. Philippe was a man who didn't allow his mind to limit him, right? What is the difference between anybody his age at that time and himself was the fact that he believed he could do it. So we have the story of Jephthah in Judges chapter 11. And I want to go there. Let me backtrack one. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance. All vigilance. For from it flow the springs of life. The springs of life. One version says the issues of life. What we deal with, what happens in our lives is limited by the way that we think. What we believe, and yet Jesus has said, through me you can do more than you would ever ask for or imagine in this life because I'm at work within you. That the aroma that comes from you at work or at school is capable of changing your world if you look to me and believe. From your heart flow the issues of life, the springs of life. And to reestablish those, to be reminded that those are possible. Do you let your circumstances define who you are? The story of Jephthah in Judges chapter 11 is he judged Israel for 6 years towards the end of his life, but not at the beginning. We find there in those verses that Jephthah was an illegitimate child. And because of that illegitimacy, his mother, who was a prostitute, set him in a place in life that would put all sorts of obstacles before him. He was abandoned, rejected by his family, thrown out by the leaders of the community, treated with injustice, and rejected, limited by the purpose and lies of those who were around him. And so in verse 3, I keep getting ahead of myself. Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior. Keep that in mind. I actually have that down in my notes a little further. Forgot to switch that in my slides. He was a mighty warrior. So besides the limitations that were on him, he made a choice. There are some things that I know that I can learn, that I can make a difference with. Brethren, there are some things that you can learn as a Christian that you can make a difference with. He was a mighty warrior, but he was the son of a prostitute. So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead and the people, and they made him head and commander over them, and he repeated all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. Now that's a big jump, isn't it? From mighty warrior, son of a prostitute, to leader of the nation, to the leader of the people of Gilead. In verse 3 of chapter 11, it tells us there that he chose a gang of scoundrels, or lawless men, your version might call it, and they followed him. They saw him as an outcast. He was put in a form and said, "This is who you are, and you cannot break out of it." And yet, Jephthah realized that what he had been told all of his life was not true. And I wonder that about us today. What are our families like? What is our history? What do we come from? Whether it be a life of poverty or a life of drug abuse or alcohol abuse or failed marriages over and over and over again, or a household where anger is controlling the situations day in and day out. What the world says is a limitation and a control about who we can become doesn't have to be that way. For 18 years, the Israelites here in the area of Gilead were controlled and under submission by the Ammonites. And somewhere along the way, through prayer, and God finally answers them. If you read chapter 10, it says there's a point where they're calling out to God, "Why are you allowing this to happen?" And they begin to put away the idols and turn to Him once again. And it's often like we see as we look. If it had been our choice in putting Christ's birth in a place, would we have put it in a manger? Probably not. Would we have chosen lowly fishermen to be a part of the apostles who would begin to change the world? Probably not. Your limitations do not define who you are. Jephthah was a man who broke out of the limitations that the world set upon him. His name actually, one of the translations means "God saw." I like that translation of his name because the meaning of his name, because God could see what he could become. And God looks into our lives and says, "I can see what you can become." The aroma of Christ, of people who could change the world that surrounds you. "Through me, you can do all things." He became a mighty man of valor, a man who was devoted, that when he made a commitment to the Lord, he was going to carry through with it. To the point that when he beats the Ammonites, when he lays slaughter among them, he says, "Lord, I will give to you the first thing that comes from my house." And I'm sure he was thinking, lamb or oxen, that would be the first thing he would see as he returned home victorious. The people saying, knowing that my life has changed, the situation that I was in no longer exists because the people have committed to me, I will lead them and I will be their judge. And I will choose not my history, but the possibility of my future and what I can become devoted to God. And the first thing that comes from my house, Lord, I will give to you as an offering. Jephthah returns home and his daughter is the first thing that comes out of the house. It's a reminder that when we make a commitment to the Lord, often it's not easy. If you have united yourself in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection and become a Christian, you have made a commitment to stand strong, to rise above the world and its circumstances and its limitations. And whatever you may think that you are today doesn't mean that you have to be that tomorrow. That through God, He has the answers of overcoming those limitations, of breaking on beyond your Mr. Freeze. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32 describes Jephthah as an incredible man of faith. Of all the men through the years and through the ages, that he would be named among those whose faith stood above others is a call to us that our history, our world today cannot limit us if we trust in the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That there is a future beyond the one that we see even at this moment. As His ambassadors, as His aroma, as a people who are transforming from what they were to what they can become in the future. I'm going to skip that point today because of time. What is limiting you in this life? Hebrews 4, 12 through 13, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Nothing. Well, that sounded very oaky, didn't it? Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him whom we must give an account. And I will tell you today that the day will come when God will look at you and say, why could you not leave your limitations behind? I gave to you my Son and my Word to give you strength and power to break out, to go beyond your personal limitations, to become more than who you were, and you failed me. I sent you to be my ambassador, my aroma, to change the world around you. And what did you change? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Are you different than the people that you work and go to school with? Are you different than the people you work with and go to school with? And for you guys, that's a big challenge. Because the pressure is great on you to be the same, to dress the same, to act the same, to listen in the same ways, to say the same things. And yet God's expectation of you is no less than the adults who are sitting in this auditorium. To be different, to be changed, to be transformed and not conformed by the world that surrounds us, to rise above for the sake of allowing those who we come into contact with to smell the aroma of a Savior who changes the world. but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So this morning I want to close with just these two simple challenges. If you know that you need to be transformed and not conformed any longer, think about at this moment how much time this week did you spend in God's Word? How much time this week did you spend praying? When your family came together to eat, did you bring your children to you and take the time to stop and pray and thank God for what He had given you? Start with the little limitations of life and break out. Begin to pray more at meals. Begin to be thankful for what He has done for us. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. And through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Begin to set for yourself new directions, breaking out of the limitations that the world has put upon you. To become a little more, to become a little more like Him, to be transformed in who you are, so that He might lead you in victory in life. And brethren, there's the key. I could get up every morning and think about all my limitations and all my shortcomings, and I wished I was better looking. I'm glad I'm better looking than some of you guys, but now that was a little rude, wasn't it, Ron? I wished I was a little better looking. I wished I was a little better in shape. I wish my arms were as strong as Brian Benton's. I wish my height of fears was as small as Brian Knott's. Is there something about that name? I don't know. But to break out and to become more. Not for myself, but for the one who matters. That I might confess His name before men so that He will confess my name before the Father. In my mind, this is my last thought I want to share with you, and the lesson is yours. In my mind, that day will come when I will stand in judgment. When Keith Thompson will stand in judgment and the Lord will recall to me the choices and the decisions that I have made. And I know no matter how hard I work, no matter how much I accomplish, no matter how many people I baptize or what goals I accomplish in this life, that it will not be enough. But thanks be to God whose grace covers me. And that I might have the courage in this life to be the aroma of Christ to those I come into contact with. That I may not be ashamed to bow my head in a restaurant and pray. That I may not be ashamed to say that I put my hope and trust in God. To have the strength to be able to search for the knowledge and say, evolution's not true. Creation is the truth. And the evidence is there. It exists. Do you know it? That I might say I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God who gave His life for me. And that because of Him, Romans chapter 6 and 1 Peter 3:21, I have the opportunity to unite myself with Him through baptism. To be raised to walk in newness of life. 1 Peter 3:21, baptism now saves you, not the washing away of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God with a good conscience through Jesus Christ. And yet here's another one of those things that conform to the world. They say that verse doesn't exist. They don't want to talk about that. The sinner's prayer is not in the Bible. But I know what it does tell me. Should I continue in sin that it may God's grace may increase. Paul says there in Romans chapter 6, may it never be. If you don't know what the rest of that says, you need to know. Brethren, go take a look. I started to quote the rest of it. I'm not going to. You need to know what it says. You ought to know. It's time for you to break out of your limitations. Stop taking man's word for things and get into God's word. To know that I can become more in life. His aroma. Let His life shine. That I might stand in triumphal procession because of His power that is at work within me. Becoming more. Isn't that what we all want in life? To be more tomorrow than we are today. God can help you do that. If we can help you set your life right, be united with Him in the likeness of His death, burial, and resurrection, or maybe we need to just surround you and pray for you this morning. Just surround you and let you know we're here for you as a family. If you're visiting this morning, I want you to know when someone comes forward in this church, it's not alone. We will surround you. I guarantee you there will be people from one end of the pew to the other to put their arms around you, to show you that they love you and support the decision you've made to set your life right in Him. Brethren, you have to understand, when I talk about these things, I get excited. I get excited about His Word. And there are times when I just want to go on and on and on. But for your sake and for lunch's sake, brethren, choose today to break out of your limitation. Choose today to become more. Won't you come as we stand and sing?